Welcome to the No Respawn Zone, the podcast where two guys with funny accents talk about video games, life, and everything else. And this week we have a plethora of video games to talk about because it was
E3.
Yeah. E3 came and went. We all saw it in different places, but by golly, I mean, I'm sorry, this is like one of the best E3s I've seen.
It was, but it wasn't at the same time, you know? It feels sometimes it felt empty, like something was missing, but at the end of the day, you look what was shown at E3 and you're like, yeah, this was one of the best E3s.
No, it was an amazing E3.
I just wished PlayStation was there, like we should have seen a lot more. Last of Us, more Death Stranding. I miss Hideo.
I miss Sony, like, period. I wish Sony would have done something. But I think Sony's only the cost of the table because they have a lot of stuff in the pipeline that I think they're going to keep to themselves.
At least without them, it was still a good show. Really good show.
It was an amazing show.
Everyone did a really good job. The presentations were amazing.
No, and we were talking about stuff, and we were talking about a lot of video games before we started doing the podcast. And we both have, like, a different ideas for some games.
Yeah, I mean, different ideas on the games.
For some games, we believe that they're going to be amazing no matter what.
Yeah, no, it's like, these games, everyone knows they're going to be good.
But for others, we're like, meh, I mean, you think one thing, I think the other way.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to try and take it down through, we're going to try and do it through the conferences. We're gonna go from Microsoft, Bethesda, and then we're going to go through Ubisoft, Nintendo. We're going to hit about a few things from Devolver.
Yeah, a few things from other ones that the shows weren't that big,
exactly.
But we didn't get... Maybe they were big, but it wasn't what we were into, so I'm sorry we don't know about it, but we're not a news channel, so...
But these two, I mean, this is probably going to end up being two episodes that we're going to do, just on...
It's going to be part one and part two that we'll be releasing, like... A day apart.
Yeah, a day apart. But it's going to be us talking about mainly... all of it is going to be talking about E3 and video games. It's not going to be any movies or talk about anything. But
just video games.
Yeah, just video games because it's
E3. Brutal video games. And
there's like so many of them there.
With Video Game Christmas. I was getting to work every morning after watching the previous night of conference. And I was so happy. It was like I got so many games. Technically, I didn't get the games. But I knew they were coming. I saw trailers. I felt good. I don't know, E3 has become something really amazing, how they show stuff that everyone loves.
All right, well, let's start with Microsoft.
Xbox One. Oh, well, first, before Microsoft, there was EA. The first one was technically EA.
Okay.
So let's start with EA. There was something, only one thing about EA that we actually cared.
Okay.
And it's Star Wars.
Fallen Order. Star Wars Fallen Order. Which is made by Respawn, if I'm not mistaken.
Respawn, yeah. But apparently they're giving control this time. It's not like good old EA that doesn't let you do anything.
Yes.
Apparently Respawn is like doing what they want.
I actually saw that conference and...
with Greg Miller. Amazing.
Amazing. And I remember that there was like some criticism because the part that they showed maybe wasn't exactly the best thing. There was like some...
They want to keep the good things for later, you know? Well, you're not going to introduce the best thing on the game. Otherwise, it feels boring once you see it.
Well, admittedly, it does. I mean, we're already starting with a game that you think is going to be great, and I'm like still kind of on the fence on. Fallen Order, I mean, it's Respawn, so I can be excited for it. But it honestly just looked like... I mean, it just looked like Star Wars Uncharted. And don't get me wrong, that's great. But it's not something that's exactly breaking the mold.
I feel like maybe it's taking some stuff from Uncharted, but I don't feel like the gameplay is going to be the same at all. First of all, it's hand-to-hand combat because you have your lightsaber. You don't use guns at any point. I feel like maybe it's a mix between like The Force Unleashed and the adventure games that we've been having these past years because it's an adventure game at the end
of
the day.
No, yeah, for sure.
So it follows... Uncharted is the best one. We agree on that. Uncharted is one of the best... Sagas and adventure games, so I understand why they follow their path. But the gameplay is going to be completely different. The story is going to be a Star Wars story. We all love Star Wars. I don't know. I feel like even if it's not as good as other games, since it's a Star Wars game, it makes it a little bit better, and I'm okay with that. Like I played Battlefront 2, and the story wasn't that bad. I mean, I played the story, and that was it. Once you got to the online, yeah. The problem is how they handled the multiplayer. But the game wasn't that bad. It's just... sad.
I mean, Fallen Order, it's like, I mean, I'm on the fence on it. I'm on the fence on it. Don't get me wrong, I do have high hopes for it.
I'm pretty sure you're gonna buy it.
Like, I mean, I really hope it's fucking amazing.
It's gonna be.
I was a big fan of the Jedi Order games back in the day when it was Kyle Rayner and Jedi Knight way back.
You play the Force Unleashed, right?
Dark Forces and Dark Forces 2. That's before your time, son.
It is.
But yeah, I mean, Fallen
Order. You shouldn't be proud of being that old, you know.
I mean, no, I am. I mean, I was privy to a really good era in video games. But moving on, because I mean, a big thing that we have to remember is that we cannot get too stuck on video games.
Yeah, there's too many of them.
If you hear us jumping from one video game to another, we have a lot of video games.
Because we feel like a lot of them deserve like a list being mentioned because there were so many good games.
Exactly.
I mean, definitely. Just Microsoft, they showed 60 video games, and 30 something of them are going to the Game Pass day one. So Outer Worlds is going to be in the Game Pass day one.
And Outer Worlds is a game that...
Talking about Outer Worlds.
Outer Worlds, now we're talking about... Now we come into the Microsoft.
Let's start, I feel like Outer Worlds is a good starting point to start with Microsoft.
Outer Worlds developed by Obsidian.
Once they've been bought. So it's going to be in the Game Pass since it's owned by Microsoft, but it's still going to be on PC and PS4. I'm thinking maybe if they do a sequel, that is going to be way bigger because Obsidian, when they started making this game, they weren't this big. It's published by Private Division because they didn't have Microsoft. But now that they have Guru Daddy Microsoft, they're going to have a lot more money, bigger game, exclusive to Xbox Scarlet. You'll see. And Next gen, we're going to have a new one.
Yeah, I think Outer Worlds is pretty interesting. It looks pretty unique. It's like this.
It doesn't look unique. It looks what we want.
Exactly.
It's Obsidian RPG.
I agree with that.
That's it.
I agree. I mean, everybody's excited for Outer Worlds.
We want just that. I don't want something new. I want...
something that you like.
I mean, yeah, the story, I want something completely new. But the gameplay, I feel like Obsidian had a good thing going. They knew what they were doing. For the style of game, it's super good. Like, their RPGs are so good.
Yeah, and you know, if they bring some of that flair that they usually bring with their other games...
They did the second best... Fallout game.
On New Vegas?
Yeah.
No, they did the best Fallout
game. No. The best
Fallout game. But moving on from Outer Worlds, by Obsidian, we're moving on to Ninja Theory, because Ninja Theory is developing this Bleeding Edge, which is this 4v4 multiplayer...
Melee-based
game, yeah. Which... I gotta admit, it just kind of looked like Overwatch to me.
It's it's done on purpose like Overwatch. I feel like Overwatch is not for everyone. I liked Overwatch, but it's an FPS. I'm not always in the mood to play Overwatch. And we don't have a big melee like multiplayer like that yet. We have a lot of kind of multiplayers, but think of it, most of them is just guns.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe it's kind of interesting seeing that. I'm pretty sure they have... because they said they were working on the fighting style, how it works for a long time. So I'm pretty sure they're going to do a good one. Like, they did Devil May Cry, right? Yeah, they did one of them.
Ninja Theory?
Yeah.
Ninja Theory, I think they wanted Devil May Cry, but their
main focus was... They did DMC.
And their main focus was always, like...
and that game is, like...
Ninja Gaiden and...
They had really good fighting, like, on third-person fighting. I'm pretty sure they're going to do a good job.
But it's multiplayer, and it kind of looks like a watch. I mean, right now, don't get me wrong, you might be really optimistic, but a lot of games, me, I'm like on the fence. I'm like,
Point.
Let me see more information on
where a lot of games like Overwatch were coming out. But that point is past, like in the past. So right now, there's Overwatch, maybe Paladins, and then a few other games that I don't remember that were like Overwatch. So right now, like, Overwatch is getting old. Apparently, I've heard like Blizzard is working on the future, like maybe do something else, like new with Overwatch.
Overwatch 2.
I heard it, like, I was reading it, I saw it on Twitter, but it's just in the future. So right now, there's nothing, because Overwatch is kind of, it's a big thing.
I mean, it's still there, I mean, Overwatch.
But we need something else, we cannot have only Overwatch. But
yeah, something else, it would be nice to have something to compete with Overwatch.
It's like, let's try something new, being like Monster Hunter, but online free-to-play, like Fortnite, but Monster Hunter. So I think Bleeding Edge is trying something in the same way with Overwatch style.
And
so,
I mean, in my opinion, if they manage to get the melee part of it good, then I think it could be a decent competitor to Overwatch.
Yeah. Well, next game, it's a breathtaking game.
Next game. You know what? Let's kind of come back to it, because I think we're gonna give that one quite a bit of like talking to.
Okay.
Because, you know.
Well, First of all, just a quick mention, Battletoads getting a sequel. It looks amazing. It's beat them up like old school, like arcade. So you're moving on the screen and the screen keeps moving, but it looks amazing. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be super fun.
Of course.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be a cheap game. Not cheap, but not a $59 game, like maybe a $39. So that can be maybe a local co-op game. We don't have that many lately.
Yeah.
So a couch game, that looks like a really good one.
I mean, Battletoads back in the day, that was one of the hardest fucking games to play on the
NES. It's going to be super hard. I don't think it's going to be for kids anymore.
I mean, at this point, if you talk to anybody that played Battletoads in the Nintendo back in the day, and you talk to them about the fucking that hover bike mission...
They showed it in the trailer. There's hover bikes.
It's legitimately one of the hardest.
I don't know if it's a. I think maybe it's a remake, but I don't know. It's just a new game with new graphics, new engine.
Oh shit! I'll play Battletoads.
Yeah.
But another thing I'm really excited to talk about that was a Microsoft press conference or conference whatever, is In Exile's Wasteland 3, and I've been a big fan of Wasteland. Oh. Wasteland 2. I love Wasteland 2. I put so many fucking hours into Wasteland 2. So I'm excited to see Wasteland 3. I do like that they kind of gave it a goofier vibe, considering that Wasteland and Wasteland 2 were very like serious and very just like it's the apocalypse and we have to be serious and we have to be sad kind of vibe. Mm. And Wasteland 3 kind of injected some like a kind of like almost like Rage 2 or Borderlands kind of vibe to it, but also maintaining that what do you call it, isometric. You know,
more than Borderlands, I would say Fallout.
I will say Fallout.
Maybe, call me crazy, but because it's the same thing.
I get you, but...
It's the exact same thing. They just had to change the name when they left EA.
No, yes.
The first one was me, but yeah.
But, yeah, I mean...
The evolution between 1 and 2, it's amazing. Because the first one is really old.
Yeah.
And it looks... For today's graphic standards,
the second one came out years upon years.
One came out before I was even born. Yeah.
So now Wasteland 3, it looks great. I'm excited for it, and it's gonna come out for all the consoles, PC. I think everything except Switch.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's gonna come to Switch at some point. Because that's a good game.
But everything except it's definitely a great game on Switch.
I mean, another one that is something back from the past. It's Age of Empires.
Age of Empires 2.
The remake. They said 2. New physics, new graphics, new everything.
Give it to me.
New storylines. It's going to be crazy. And they also said they're working on the new one. On the next one.
A new Age of Empires?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's in the future, but still. Hey, still coming.
Funnily enough, since we're on the subject, you know, I think I'm one of the rarest people in the world that actually likes Age of Empires 3.
I love it.
A little bit more than Age of Empires 2.
I love it because it's more evolved, technically.
Well, in Age of Empires 3, it was based on, like they had, like, muskets and stuff like that. So when you order them to shoot...
You have monster trucks.
No, what?
Tuk, tuk, tuk.
Oh, no, like you order them to shoot and they get in, like, the formations or, like, oh my god, Age of Empires 3 always fucking got me. Always got me. But yeah, the remake for Age of Empires 2, that is another thing to look forward to. Another thing to look forward to that I didn't know about this game until you showed it to me, and I was glued to the TV watching it after you showed me the trailer.
12 minutes?
Yeah, 12 minutes.
12 minutes.
Which is being developed by apparently one person, Luis Antonio, and published by Annapurna Interactive. Apparently, it's just an Microsoft exclusive. It's only coming out for Windows and the Xbox One. Mm-hmm. That... makes me kind of irritated because that means
I own both, so I don't care.
But I won't be able to play it. I mean, I will be able to play it at some point, but
I can bring my Xbox.
It looked really interesting.
If someone listening has to make a choice between PS4 and Xbox, buy an Xbox. So you were saying?
Buy a PS4. But Xbox no, means. that over the top or what was it like from the ceiling look of the camera and the way if the game is going to play how the trailer made it look, then it is,
because I think it's going to be mainly based on the story.
Oh yeah, no, they even said it. It's an interactive thriller.
Yeah, it's going to be something amazing.
So it's definitely going to be story based, and it's definitely going to be very interesting to keep tabs of. And
yeah.
12 minutes. I did not know about it today. I missed it during the entire thing.
You didn't watch the conferences like you should have.
Well, I didn't. I mean, I had other stuff to do, man. Yeah. So you know, I didn't sit down and watch the entire damn conference. But moving right along, we have
Oh, yeah. You know how I love Forza Horizon, right?
Which is why I let you speak about that one, because I'm not a big racing game fan.
When I was a kid, my two biggest like toys or things that I loved was Hot Wheels and Legos. Forza Horizon 3, they make the second DLC Hot Wheels DLC. And it was amazing. You had an island like with Hot Wheels trucks. And then this game, they release Legos. So it's basically cars that are like Lego cars in real size, and you drive them. And as you hit it, like pieces fall off. There's a whole world made out of Legos. So they like worked really hard on this one. It's been almost a year since it came out, like the game. Mm-hmm. They've been taking a long time. They've been barely releasing anything. This game barely had any, like it had two packs of cars. While in other games, like, I don't know, Gran Turismo have like 10 packs of cars. Mm-hmm. This one too. And it had, if you got the car pass, everything. And it was amazing.
Well, I'm going to just like, just hit on Forza moving on because, you know.
In Borderlands is the next one, but I don't think Borderlands is nothing new. No, we've just seen.
It's just Borderlands.
We've seen more. Okay, I'm pissed because I saw something. I saw the character Troy Baker plays in Tales from the Borderlands, mm-hmm. Rhys. Yeah, Rhys.
Oh, yeah.
And we see more Rhys, yet Randy said, oh no, there's not going to be that much Rhys. It doesn't matter that Troy Baker's not playing it. If it's only a fucking line of dialogue, it matters. Sorry.
I mean.
It was a Telltale game. It was mainly the character.
That could definitely be an entire conversation because I kind of feel the same way of with Ashley Birch when her doing Chloe Price for the first Life is Strange. And because of the writer's strike or the voice actor strike,
she hit a lot of video games.
Yeah, she couldn't do when they did Before the Storm. She wasn't gonna do Chloe, and I was like, oh, I'm not even gonna fucking play it because for me, you know, that character was
that strike Ashley fucked Birch. A lot of games. And in a way, I understand why they did it. It makes sense, so I'm not gonna complain that much.
Also, awesome shout out to Ashley Birch, aka Tiny Tina.
Yeah,
fucking love Ashley Birch, man. Yeah. Fucking love Ashley Birch. She's also Aloy in Horizon Zero Dawn.
That's right. She's Aloy.
Dude, Ashley Birch is the shit, dude.
Ooh, PS5. One of the main games for launch. Maybe it's a new Horizons.
Don't. What? I'm Hawkeye turning around, being like, don't give me hope. Just for right now. Speaking of launch titles, to the Xbox Scarlet. We're not going to get into it that much, but one of the launch titles that they announced is...
It's going to be Holidays 2020.
It's going to be Halo Infinite.
Oh, yeah, but I thought you meant the... Yeah, because the Xbox... Okay, first of all, let's get into the Xbox, because what they've showed, and it's going to be technically faster than the PS5. Like, it's... The PS5 is going to be as good.
Well, there was an article that came out that playtesters and with the dev kits have said that the PS5 is faster.
They don't have, like, no, it's not. PS5 is slower. They don't have as much because the Xbox is using SSDs instead of HDDs, and it doesn't use, like, hard drives anymore. Now it's only SSDs.
That's a conversation I think we can argue about in next year's E3. Yeah. Because I think that's when it gets showcased. But yeah, Halo Infinite confirmed to be a launch title for the Xbox Scarlet, which is the first time.
I mean, we're pretty sure. Starfield is going to be almost launched.
Probably, yeah, more than likely. I think
Starfield. I saw an interview. He said it wasn't going to be launch. It was going to be a little bit after launch.
No, we'll see. A
few months, but it's still going to be counted as launch, like Skyrim did.
Yeah, I mean, Bethesda is the next thing we're going to hit on. But Halo Infinite launch title. Everybody's super excited. It's been the first Halo game in like forever, and it's the newest time a Halo game has been a launch title for a Microsoft console since the first Halo, back with the first Xbox.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's got a lot of people. I mean, it's very nostalgic. You know, everybody fucking played the first Halo on the big black brick of a first Xbox. So it's very nostalgic to have a new Halo coming out as a launch title with the new
And they will close Microsoft. This generation with Gears of War. Well, Gears 5. It's not Gears of War anymore. Gears 5 to close the generation. They got a new. There's just one thing I want to say about that game. There's an actor I really enjoy. Do you know a show called iZombie?
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
The Doctor. Okay. Well, he's a lot of the time in Funhouse. He's Rahul Kohli.
Okay.
And he plays the new character in Gears of War. He's in Rage too. He's been doing video games lately. I hope he's in Watch Dogs Legion, but that's subject for later.
I gotta admit, before we move on, Gears 5, that just kind of reminds me of, when it comes to that franchise, it just reminds me of that Ralph Wiggum meme. Just like, not Ralph Wiggum, but The Simpsons. Like, stop, he's already dead.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of like what I think about.
I think they're going to bring it back. Yeah, they...
I have fond memories of playing the first Gears with my brother and just like enjoying the split screen.
You had an Xbox?
Back in the day, yeah. I had a 360 for a long time.
So the guy that says, now buy a PS4 when you play the Xbox, you seem like a liar to me.
I don't give a shit. I prefer my PS4. Because
you don't have an Xbox One.
But those are the games that really... Oh, we actually were missing one, actually. We're missing the...
It's not a Microsoft game, but it was showcased on Microsoft.
It was showcased on the Microsoft game. We're talking about Cyberpunk 2077. Which
I'm already seeing it. It's going to be Game of the Year, 100%.
Which is basically CD Projekt Red looked at Hideo Kojima and he was like, you got all those actors and all those directors to be in your video game? All right, hold my beer. And they brought out fucking Keanu Reeves. Just fucking Keanu.
That's going to be in the game as much as your character. Like, they have almost the same lines of dialogues.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's amazing how...
I mean, technically, like, it could go wrong really easily, but it's CD Projekt Red.
I mean, admittedly, kudos to CD Projekt Red for keeping that under wraps for so long. Because that, and kudos...
Keanu's not the person that's going to say anything.
Yeah, Keanu's... Yeah. It's amazing to think that nobody even thought of it. It just came out of fucking left field.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And it could fit.
Because
I'm like, hey... This might be a little bit before your time, but Keanu Reeves was basically in the first major cyberpunk movie that I ever saw. And no, I am not talking about the fucking Matrix.
The Matrix is not cyberpunk.
Exactly. I'm talking about this movie, I think it came out in 1995, called Johnny Mnemonic. If anybody's heard about this movie, then kudos to fucking you for remembering Johnny Mnemonic. But
I've seen it on, I don't know, I think on Twitter someone posted it the other day.
It's an amazing fucking movie.
It came out 1 year before I was born.
You know, funnily enough, quick tidbit about
95.
Quick tidbit about Johnny Mnemonic before we keep moving out about Cyberpunk. That was the last movie that Dolph Lundgren was in.
Did you say... Wait. I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
Did you say it was one of the first Cyberpunk movies?
That I saw.
Oh, okay.
That I saw.
Sorry, yeah.
No, that I saw. That
yeah,
I saw.
Yeah. I was like, what?
No, of course not. But it was one of the first Cyberpunk that I saw. And I was like, oh my god,
it's a good
what?
Start.
Yeah, Johnny Mnemonic? Hell yeah, it is. But yeah, so getting fucking Keanu in like a cyberpunk role and taking off his glasses and being like, wake the fuck up, samurai, we have a city to burn. I was like, fuck yeah, it's like Johnny Mnemonic makes me fucking Johnny Utah from fucking Point Break. Everything that said a Project Red keeps showing and talking about.
I mean,
about,
it just blows every time.
It just keeps looking better and better and better.
First they show us 55 minutes of gameplay. They develop this story. You have this companion. You start to love him. And you're like, hey, he's funny. I can see myself playing with him.
Oh, he's fucking dead now.
The beginning of this trailer, you see him die in the car and you're like, no, I thought he was going to survive and it was going to be like a traumatic experience. No, he's dead.
He's dead.
They try to kill. And the guy you thought was going to make you big, you kill him.
Yeah.
And he's like,
and now
mind blow.
And now you got Keanu Reeves.
I don't even think, maybe that everything they showed is not even going to be in the game. It's just as a prequel. Showed us the prequel and that's
it. I mean, think about it.
Maybe you start with, maybe you start after that.
Oh my God, that'd be fucking great. Or the everything they've shown is just like the fucking 10-hour prologue to the actual fucking story. Because I don't know, man. So the Project Red can do whatever the fuck they want.
The Witcher was...
Yeah, think about it. What was that launch title that they did for The Witcher? The Killing Monsters one? Like
the what?
That story trailer that they did before The Witcher released.
Oh, yeah.
That there's like these guys assaulting like this lady or whatever, and then Geralt comes up and attacks them, and the dude's like, what are you doing? And he's like, killing monsters. And I'm like, fuck yeah, get on the fucking Rivia. But also, just throwing it out there really quick, even though we're not gonna talk a lot about Nintendo, but The Witcher 3 on the Switch.
I mean, we'll go later on Nintendo.
Yeah, we'll go later, but I mean, I don't have a Switch.
I do.
You have a Switch.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Yes, let's move on.
To Bethesda.
So we're moving on to Bethesda.
I just want to say, so everyone understands my passion, is this was my favorite conference.
Of course,
Shown there was the best games shown at E3. Well, not the best, but almost the best. And we saw our Lord and Savior.
Your Lord and Savior.
Todd Howard. I just want to say, that interview with Elon Musk, what? Like, most of the interview didn't make any sense. It was just them rambling, Jeff asking questions, and at the end, no new information. It was just Elon just doing memes by himself.
Well, I mean, they did say that
it was entertaining. I loved it.
Oh yeah, no, it was entertaining. I mean, the biggest thing that we got is that Fallout. You can play Fallout Shelter on Teslas now.
You can play it on your Tesla.
That's yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. When I'm rich enough to afford a Tesla, I'll be happy to download.
He also Todd Howard, not in an interview, but at E3, he spoke about the launch of Fallout 76, and he pretty much said, yeah, we know. It was a rocky start. We were expecting it because they never done a multiplayer game like this. And they were like, okay, we're understanding. But they were thankful that the community that there is, like, instead of killing each other, we just people are like, hey, you see this enemy is like just waving. And when you see someone, instead of attacking you, they just
wave. Oh my God, you talked about this last time.
Yeah, because the community is amazing and it's getting even bigger. It's like on Twitter, there's this whole community of people and it's like the homeowners association. And they just basically on Fallout build these fucking huge houses that look amazing. And they post it on Twitter and there's this Twitter that regulates it. The community has gone really far with this game.
No, yeah, of course, yeah.
And gotcha. It's getting really good. We got two things announced for that game. We got first the sort of battle royale game. I was like, they don't force you to play it, so I don't really care. It's okay with me. But it kind of looks kind of good. Instead of a ring of light that closes a ring of fire, mm-hmm. you can get a bomb or something like that if you get keys and the briefcase. But if it's nice, maybe it's not.
Yeah, no, I mean, Fallout 76, I mean, I have my thoughts on that. I think it was a shit game when it came out.
And the DLC.
I don't particularly agree with the idea of releasing a broken game and then fixing it after.
There was things that they tested everything and they couldn't know there was going to be that
but
many people playing it.
Also, I am a day one player of both the Destiny 2 and
yeah,
the Division 2.
Yeah, you played the Destiny 1. They were like level capping you with the how much you were getting.
I can't really say that much.
There's also DLC that they announced, and it's Wastelanders. I want to go just a few seconds into that DLC because that DLC is introducing NPCs. So the way it's year two of Fallout is going to start. And the way it's happening is like we've rebuilt and like people are getting back. So in the trailer, they don't show much. I'm seeing that what's going to happen is like there's going to be. We already have factions. We never saw them, but we worked for factions because of the robots and everything. But I think there's going to be new factions that are going to form and you have to take alliance. Maybe you at some point you help each other, but I think the factions are going to end up like clans. Even though there's NPCs, I think they want to just even make the community even bigger and stronger. Because mm-hmm. now you're going to like have your buddies, you're in your faction, you're going to attack the other ones. And just make the world feel interesting and having to attack each other, making wars and everything.
Don't get me wrong. If the game gets... right now, they're still on a free week. It ends, if I'm not mistaken, on Monday. Fallout 76
I played it since the beta. Mm-hmm. I know it started bad, really bad. Like,
you mean the demo?
No, it was a beta. You could level. You didn't have a level copy in the beta.
That's a joke.
They gave you the whole game in the beta, but yeah, they left you like with 4 hours a day. You had.
But before we move on, I want to say my two cents on Fallout 76. You know, like I said, even though I'm a day one player of I'm a day one player of The Division. I'm a day one player of Destiny 2, and I'm a day
and
one
the Division 2 too. Don't
and I'm
forget
a day one
shit.
Player of The Division 2. So I can't really get angry, you know, because, I mean, I have been like, oh, yes, I'll play this game that's kind of broken and at release and they'll fix it later. But, I mean, Fallout 76 was admittedly...
I enjoyed it.
But it was a fuck-up on a lot of levels.
And they
continue to dig themselves into holes continually, one after the other, after the other.
No, they're coming out. The game is shaping up to being something.
But if they're trying, they're trying. Moving on...
Just one thing about that game. Mm-hmm. You know the nylon bags?
They finally came out.
They finally sent the new ones.
7 months later.
At least, I'm pretty sure if it was EA, they would never give you anything in return. They'll be like, fuck you. Oh, I'm sorry.
EA bash party.
But anyone else, like, it's still... They fucked up the first time, but I still appreciate that they're like, hey, here, I'm going to send you a new bag. I'm sorry.
So 7 months later, and you can't...
But at least they do it. There's a lot of companies that wouldn't do it.
That's true. I mean, yeah, sure.
And it looks amazing. I have my nylon bag at home. And
good for you. You finally got it.
No, it's not nylon. The new one is canvas. It's nice.
But moving on to Arkane's next game.
A French studio.
Which you must be very excited about.
The developers of Dishonored 1 and 2.
You know, speaking of which, both of your, you know, countries, they got some pretty...
Ubisoft is French.
Yeah, but France and fucking Spain have some good games coming
out. Spain has a lot of indie games coming out. Because the industry in Spain is not big yet.
But Arkane Studios, who, you know, everybody loves them for Dishonored. That's their big...
BioShock 2, they work on level design on that game.
And they also did the latest Prey.
Prey, they did Prey. But that was Arkane Montreal.
Yep. But they're coming out with this game, Deathloop. And they only had a cinematic trailer for it. The cinematic trailer was really, 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 really good.
It was interesting.
It was interesting. But Dead Island taught me never trust cinematic trailers.
The gameplay, I'm pretty sure... It looks like the gameplay is going to be some kind of Dishonored gameplay. Like, Dishonored, Prey, first person, like...
Oh, yeah, first person.
It feels like Dishonored.
Yeah, but we can't tell. Is it a co-op game?
It's a single player game.
You know what I mean?
It's a single player game.
Well, I mean, we'll see. It looks very interesting. We can't say a lot about it because we don't know. No. The cinematic trailer looked amazing. There was like this time travel. The
presentation was amazing.
Oh, it was amazing.
Fellow Frenchman.
It was almost like a Groundhog Day type thing happening. Yeah. Like die.
And they just try to kill each other to stop it.
Yeah, it looked amazing. It looked
really good.
I can't wait to hear more of it. But
yeah, fought in bars, like, everything felt nice.
They're like fighting other people but trying to kill each other.
The world felt nice. Yeah. I liked it.
Ambitious. Everything looked amazing. Good. But the thing is that we can't really speculate much of it. We can just like guess and guess.
You know what? We got a lot of gameplay though. Doom Eternal.
Doom fucking Eternal.
Already at QuakeCon last summer they showed Doom Eternal, but at QuakeCon they showed more that looked better. But now they showed like how deep the game goes, and it looks amazing.
Doom Eternal looks amazing.
It looks even better than the last one, but the gameplay too, like the feel of the game, how we saw actual gameplay, and it looks like it's, I don't know, you know that thing that Doom has that makes it so good when
it's just visceral and it's brutal, you know.
The gunplay is like so good.
It's tight. It's fucking tight.
Because it's really basic. You don't have really like aiming. You have kind of like power-ups. Maybe one of the power-ups can be aiming. Mm-hmm. And still, it feels like old school. It's old school shooting.
Yeah, because there's no reload. It's just fucking shoot, kill.
Yeah, it's like levels. Death metal music. And really intense.
And there's like secrets to find the levels. And it's got like this, almost like this Metroidvania type vibe to it.
It makes you want to replay the levels to get everything.
Definitely.
And get better.
And its software must be pretty fucking like feeling confident about Doom Eternal because it is coming out November 22nd of this year. That puts it 5 short days, if I'm not mistaken, away from Death Stranding.
I mean, its software is really old. Like, as a studio, how old are they?
So is Kojima.
91. Its software is like been in the game for long.
So has Kojima. So
yeah,
there's November. I mean,
Doom wasn't the first FPS from Wolfenstein, but they're still one of the first ones.
Well, Doom Eternal seems the big ones. This November is going to be a pretty interesting, battle between Death Stranding and Doom Eternal in November because. They are releasing pretty close. So we have to see. I mean, I'll probably end up buying both of them, but I'm going to end up mainly focused on Death Stranding, to be honest.
Oh, no, I pre-ordered the collector's edition for Doom.
Oh.
Because it's a helmet
and I'm going
that you can wear, like the Doom area.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to be pre-ordering the one for Death Stranding because I want that figurine.
It's up, you should order it but moving on.
Moving on, we
got to see a game that we weren't even expecting. I was thinking maybe they were gonna announce Evil Within spin-off. No,
yeah,
strictly a new game.
We got two things. We had an amazing. We had a very interesting game. In Ghostwire Tokyo, a very interesting cinematic trailer, and apparently the internet's new girlfriend,
Lady,
and Ikumi Nakamura,
she was really fun.
Who has apparently created like just in a little short presentation of Ghostwire, there's like memes and yeah, everything she, of her.
A following.
Just like how she said, like, it's spooky.
It was mainly at the end she did like a pose like
this. A little dance,
was,
yeah.
Yeah, she was funny.
But don't get me wrong. We have to remember, it's not just that she's fucking like, that she's adorable and fucking great. She's
also a creative director, I think.
She worked on fucking Okami. And she worked
she's making this game.
And if I'm not mistaken, she was the creative director on The Evil Within 2.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
But
she's the creative director in the studio.
And she's the creative director in Ghostwire. Ghostwire Tokyo. And she is the pupil wouldn't be the correct word. Would be like the
protege.
The protege of the great Shinji Mikami, creator of the Resident Evil series.
That's still working on this game, too.
Who is still also working on Ghostwire.
I mean, it's his studio at the end of the day. But I mean, owned by Bethesda, but still his studio.
It's a studio, but, you know, Ikumi Nakamura, she's the one working on it. Shinji Mikami is...
he's the studio director.
Yeah, so whatever it's about, it looks fucking interesting.
Yes.
People fucking disappearing. You got a bow and arrow. You're hunting ghosts. I don't know what the fuck that was. That looked fucking great. I can't wait for it. I want to know more of it. I want to see at least some gameplay. Something else that looked really interesting.
Something that comes basically from id Software, but technically they didn't make it. It's Machine Games Make It.
Machine Games Make It.
And Wolfenstein.
And Arkane also worked on it as well.
Yeah, but they do level design. They don't do actual.
But we're talking about Wolfenstein Youngblood, the new co-op game.
Or single player. I appreciate that.
Yes, finally.
I appreciate that. Because sometimes you want to play alone.
Because merely that was a reason that I was like, oh, why am I going to get it?
They said it at mid-conference. They're like, yeah, it's going to be a single player game. Everyone can play the way they want. I was like,
woo!
You can change between characters as you go progress through the story. There's going to be choices. Yeah. I was like, okay, nice.
Yeah, because
you...
You're playing the two daughters of BJ Blazkowicz.
BJ Blazkowicz.
Blazkowicz.
Well, William B.J. Blazkowicz.
William J. Blazkowicz.
No, it's William B. Wait.
No, yeah. Because it'd be Beol. Beol J. Yeah. So it's William J. Blazkowicz. Blazkowicz?
Blazkowicz.
Blazkowicz. Oh. The fucking hero of Wolfenstein.
William Joseph B.J.
Blazkowicz. Yeah, there you go. B.J. Blazkowicz, yeah. So you play his two daughters, and I mean, the interaction that they show between the two of them, I was like, oh man.
They're like different, but oh my God, you feel like so they're sisters. Awesome. There's this connection between them. I feel
really rare. I mean, I talked about this on one of the other podcasts about how I think Wolfenstein, the new Colossus, is one of the best fucking first-person games ever made. First-person shooter games ever made because of the story and the gunplay, everything. And the cutscenes, and Youngblood just looks like it's going to be more of that. So I can't wait to play it. It's not that I even need to see more of it, because I already seen enough, and I'm getting it. Especially now knowing that it doesn't have to be co-op; it can be single player. I'm even more excited to play it. So that's another thing. The next thing is kind of like more up your alley, because it's something that you have been playing for a while.
Ooh, I mean, technically it was nothing new. They just showed the cinematic trailer for the new Elder Scrolls Online expansion. This time they're going to go to the land of the Khajiit, to Elsewhere. And they introduced dragons, a new class, necromancers. The game is getting like... They started bad. The game was okay at the beginning, but they've been getting like this huge community. And the game right now is really good. Like, if you like the Elder Scrolls and you're sick of waiting for the Elder Scrolls 6, honestly, this is the best choice.
Because ESO?
Yeah, you can play it by yourself. I play it completely by myself. Maybe there's raids that you want this boss, but maybe there's boss in the world and you see the boss, you just wait for a second, and maybe when you get there, it's full of people. Mm-hmm. And everyone just gets there and you kill it and you go your own way. Like, you don't have to really interact with people if you don't want to. Or you can join guilds, play with other people. The game is really amazing. You have so much things to do. You almost have the whole Tamriel. It's so big. You even have realms that are not in Tamriel, like, you know, the Daedra are technically planets, so you have realms of those Daedra, because if you do the missions, like, I've done the main story for Morwen, the basic game, Somerset, and I'm doing now Elsewhere, and it's amazing, because even you have three different main factions, you know, there's the Altimeri Dominion, mm-hmm. I forgot the other two. But you know, there's three, and choosing the race is kind of tied to your factions.
Yes.
And then you have also your storyline for your factions. So it's this main content, no side content. Main content, there's a lot, a lot, a lot. And then you have side quests that maybe the storylines, maybe just a little quest. You have raids, you have dungeons, you have so much stuff to do. Like, I really love it.
I mean, but it looks interesting. I actually did play a little bit of it when you told me.
You didn't tell me because... Yeah.
No, I just played a little bit of it. It looked interesting, just didn't catch my attention.
I can help you, give you armor,
boosts. Okay, well, we can talk about that at some point. Something else. But, I mean...
People, play it. That's it. Just play it. It's on PS Now. The game, if you want to, like, the expansions and everything, you might have to play or get VIP. But if you buy, like Somerset, once a new expansion comes, if you get the expansion, they give you the previous one. Oh. So, like, if you buy Somerset, you get more win.
Yeah. Which is
it's
nice.
Nice.
Seems like
it's
a good nice. Deal, yeah.
But if you want, you buy one, you get all of them.
And finally, last but definitely not least, on Bethesda.
A mobile game, so.
Oh, what?
It's a mobile game.
Oh, yeah, it's a mobile game. There's also another mobile game that kind of like made my eye twitch, but that's an Ubisoft, but we'll talk about that later. But last one is a fucking something that takes me back to my childhood and, you know, playing in fucking old school computers when I was in school, fucking Commander Keen.
The lore has changed. You know how BJ's son was Commander Keen? Commander Keen was the father of Doom guy?
Yes, that was the lore.
But once they rebooted like Doom and Wolfenstein, that's not true anymore. That's why in this game you're gonna be playing his son and daughter, twins. So it's two of them.
But it's Commander Keen. I mean, if you don't remember, it's like I remember it used to be like the original one was in a fucking floppy.
Wow, yeah. I never used one. I never used one in my I've had it in my head. Yeah. I never input one in a computer. Like never in my fucking life.
The original
I'm grateful.
Commander Keen was in a fucking floppy, just like Doom was. You know.
Wait, what?
The original Doom.
I just downloaded it when I played it.
Was in a floppy, and
I was only
and correct me if I'm wrong. I might be wrong, but the floppy was red, just to fucking be extra Doomish.
I don't know. I would believe it. Like back then it was John Romero, so like we know he can go over the top with making you. You know what? John Romero is gonna. Oh, I'm gonna put it right now.
John was what?
When John Romero says
John Romero's gonna make you his bitch, play Daikatana.
But I don't think the game is gonna be that amazing. Yeah. Oh, it looks really
there
good.
There you go. Yeah, I'm just showing you a picture of the red Doom floppy.
It's completely red. Back, I mean, it makes sense. It's
back
Doom.
In the day.
Like already it was as bloody as it
back
is.
Back in the day. All right. Well, that we've gone through Microsoft and Bethesda. We're gonna pick up part two. Going into Ubisoft,
Nintendo, Devolver, and everything else.
Basically, one game from Devolver and other indie studios that we feel have to be definitely mentioned. Especially for me, it's just one main one. But yeah, on the next one, we're gonna pick up with Ubisoft and Nintendo and hit up those games and those conferences and talk about them. And that'll be the second part of our two-part E3 extravaganza. So we will see you then.
We'll see you in the next one, yeah.